Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
We begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. And I ask, before I do that, I'll just mention that the General Council meeting is being recorded and the audio will be available on the Marion Council website. I do acknowledge a number of people in the gallery tonight. Just for the purpose of assessing how to order the agenda, could I ask people to... There are a couple of items tonight which might draw in residents, and I'm just interested to know who is represented here tonight. So if you're here for the business about George Street and Dwyer Road, could you just put your hand up as an indicator, right? And if you're here for the Norfolk Road Township Road issue, can you just put your hand up? Yep, okay, thanks. So just gives us some idea. I haven't thought about the exact order of the agenda, but we'll try and bring things forward if it's convenient. Now, as I must, I ask if any elected member has any conflict of interest of which they're aware at this stage. Councillor Pryor?
Councillor Telfer and I attended the workshop which we're voting on tonight, the outcome of which we're voting on tonight. So it's not so much a conflict of interest as just a comment to say we're involved as residents and now we're representing on council.
Governance staff will tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't see that as any conflict of interest at all.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Councillor Telfer, were you making the same point? Or?
Conflict of interest with Marion Fitness and Leisure.
Understand that. So that's a confidential item we'll get to much later in the meeting, and we'll keep that in mind. I ask for a motion that the minutes of the General Council meeting held on 24th February 2015 be accepted. Clerical errors accepted. Moved, Councillor Telfer. Seconded, Councillor Westwood. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried. And I also separately ask for confirmation of the minutes for the Special General Council meeting held on the 17th of March 2015. So moved, Councillor Byram, seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried. Thank you. In terms of the communications, normally we just briefly note these reports from the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor, the elected members and Chief Executive and Executive. However, if I have leave of the meeting, I just want to make an announcement about the incoming Acting Chief Executive Officer, and I would then ask that to be recorded in the minutes. Do I have leave of the meeting? Moved, Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded Councillor Byram. All those in favour? That's carried. I note that Jeff Whitbread, that's Whitbred, a former Chief Executive of the City of Norwood, the City of Charles Sturt, and the City of Geelong, is going to take up the appointment as Acting Chief Executive Officer of Marion on the 30th of March, probably for a period of 5 or 6 months as we go through a formal recruitment process for an ongoing new Chief Executive. And noting also that Council expresses its thanks and best wishes to Mark Searle, our outgoing Chief Executive Officer. Let it be so recorded. Hope you got all that.
Yep.
Unless there are any questions about the reports, we'll keep moving along. There being no YAC update, deputations or petitions, we must go to items which have been adjourned from a previous meeting. Oh, Oh, we haven't actually adopted them. No. Sorry, I do need a motion that the reports be adopted. That is to say, the Mayor or Deputy Mayor of elected members, CEO and executive reports. That's moved. Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded. Councillor Pryor. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried. Thank you, members. Now, we come to petition policy. Again, if that's... That could be adjourned again, couldn't it? I would suggest it's not a critical one. We do have a very meaty agenda, but I'm in the hands of council whether someone wishes to adjourn it or whether someone wishes to move. Councillor Hutchinson, you're moving.
An adjournment.
An adjournment. And that's seconded. Councillor Crossland. Until end of April. The 28th of April, general council meeting. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried. Thank you. Is that a point of order, Councillor Hull?
No, not at all. I just didn't have a chance to comment. Just an observation. No, I just wanted to point out that in the meantime, could the council's website have on there once again a pro forma petition and guidelines for our community to make it better for them to submit petitions?
Well, I have to say that council meetings aren't the place for those suggestions. That should go directly to staff between meetings. But I'll simply ask staff to take that on board. Committee recommendations. We do have the Chief Executive Officer Review Committee meetings. And I point out for everyone's benefit that the Chief Executive Officer Review Committee has been essentially playing the role of a recruitment committee as well, just in this recent past. The motions that are suggested by staff are in fact quite innocuous, but I think we need a report on a brief summary of the motions of the Chief Executive Officer Review Committee so that members understand by adopting the minutes they know which motions and recommendations they're actually adopting. Now, point 3 and 4. Thank you, Ms. Waits. So if there's nothing more to it than that, members can be reassured. There is a flow chart for the recruitment process. Is that before members? Page 43 of the agenda. And members, I just want members to be clear on that this would allow the Chief Executive Officer Review Committee to go further and embark upon the recruitment process with a preferred recruitment agency to the point where a shortlist is selected and there would be interviews of that shortlist, and then there'd be a further culling and shortlist which would lead to an interview by whole of council. So it is a three-stage process of an initial cull, an interview process by the panel, and then a whole of council interview for, we don't know, but possibly one or two candidates at the end of the process. Now, there was interest at the last meeting in a huge number of people being interested in being on the interview panel. There is a certain advantage in having the people who have started the process following it through. So that's something you might want to consider in the debate. Can I ask staff as well, in relation to the selection of a recruitment agency, that will come up at the end of this meeting in confidential items, won't it? Because that was after more or less a tender process. Oh, this is 6th of March, the 13th. 20th is confidential. Okay. It's a bit confusing because there have been three Chief Executive Review Committee meetings since the last council meeting. The motions that are currently up on the screen refer to two of them, and there's a third meeting which will be dealt with in confidence because it talks about selecting a recruitment agency as a result of a tender. Having made all of that clear, Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I wish to move the motion, and in doing so, I wanted to draw attention.
And just before you speak, we'll just ask if the motion's seconded. That's seconded, Councillor Telfer. Please proceed, Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you. Just on page 43 for the flowchart for members' benefit, I have taken it as read, but just to clarify that the engagement of all council is actually the line three there, where it's actually more than what perhaps you articulated, Your Worship, with all respect. Council will be engaged even in the review of the shortlist, so it is actually a little bit more than just at the end of the process. It is touch points along the way. And I'll take everything else as read.
Good point. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Telfer? Is anyone speaking against the motion? Then I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Thank you. That does remind me, again, just making a sort of a comment from the Chair. Members will recall late last year that I had said that I would be fairly loose in the chairing of meetings to make sure everyone had a say, and with a lot of new members. We've had a couple of very packed agendas, and at the last meeting, a couple of the more experienced members were making suggestions, some were even helpful suggestions, from the back of the chamber, and that led me to think that it's time to tighten up on meeting procedure. So the way we'll be dealing with things tonight is going back to the formal process, whereby someone will move a motion. Before anything else happens, we'll test if it's seconded. The mover and the seconder, if it is seconded, will have a chance to speak. I'll ask if there's anyone opposing the motion, and of course that could entail an amendment, which would be a form of opposing the motion, and we'll deal with the debate accordingly. The mover has a right in reply. If there is opposition to the motion, then it's quite proper for the mover to speak in reply to the opposing comments. But if there has in fact been no opposition, then I won't call upon the mover to reply unless they absolutely insist, because it just becomes an exercise in making a bombastic speech at the end of it if there's actually no opposition to a point. So we're going to try and move things along more quickly that way. I'm sure people will get the hang of it as we go along. I hope I will. Thank you, members. We've dealt with that, and now go to corporate reports for decision. I'm open to, given the members of public in the gallery, I'm quite happy if somebody wants to move a procedural motion that the reports relating to Township Road and then Oaklands Park Marion Traffic Management are dealt with next. I can just do it. Oh, I'm told I can just do it, so let's do it. I'm sure there wouldn't be any objection. So let's deal with the Township Road and Norfolk Road parking options item of business. It appears as page 70 in the agenda, and looking at the now, are both ward councillors happy with who's moving and who's seconding? Yes, so Councillor Hutchinson or Councillor Telfer?
I don't mind. I think I got pushed forward.
Very good. Councillor Hutchinson, yes.
Thank you, Your Worship. I move the motion with the... hang on, do we have that? No, we don't. We endorse option three as well as the options written above.
Option three, and can I just be really clear about the wording before we go on? So you're not endorsing, do you mean option three and option five?
Yes.
It's not inconsistent, is it?
No. So option one for Township Road and options three and five for Norfolk Road.
That's fine. That's what I wanted to clarify. And is that seconded, Councillor Telfer?
It's not Township Road. In Norfolk.
Sorry, Councillor Telfer, we're just clarifying the wording of the motion so that we're clear about what's being moved. So that's what Councillor Hutchinson is moving.
And the explanatory notes are below that.
With the explanatory notes and items three and four as well. Right. Councillor Telfer, are you seconding that motion?
I'm seconding it with the options three and five included.
Well, at this stage, the motion moved by Councillor Hutchinson has options three and five in respect of Norfolk Road.
That's correct, what I'm saying as
so
well.
So seconding. So now I'll go back to the mover and ask Councillor Hutchinson to speak to the motion.
Thank you, Your Worship. Members, adding option three adds a critical part to the motion and a critical part for the residents' concerns in relation to access to the Norfolk Estate Retirement Village. What this will do is provide a nice, clear entry and egress to the estate. It also provides the motions, as you would have read in the tonight's papers, no stopping zone to the along the western side of Township Road remains the same, but Norfolk Road will have a no stopping zone on the northern side, subject to further consultation to ensure that the residents and business owners along there can work together to achieve a better outcome.
Yes, I support this going forward for checking in the community. This follows on from the petition that was put on. We have suggested and put forward that opposite the Norfolk Road entrance exit, that there be a yellow line for two whole house blocks. That will then allow people to have the visibility that they require, and this will be tested in the community by a local survey. I had sent through to administration both the words and a map of the proposed. I don't know if that got lost, but I had a picture of what is proposed. I sent that through last Friday. No. Well, the only addition is the yellow line on the northern side opposite the Norfolk Road entrance.
It's just one more clarification. I think that arises out of Councillor Telfer's comments. If you look at part three of the motion, we're talking about consultation in relation to options three and five on Norfolk Road, and if favourable, proceed with installation of the loading zone. Councillor Hutchinson, is that part of your motion or not?
Well, they're not. they're not. They're both not a loading zone per se. It's only really option five is a loading zone. I'm happy to proceed with just option five being consulted on.
All right. So, Councillor Telfer, I suppose it's a question of whether you agree with just option five being the subject of further consultation, or whether you wanted to extend that. So I'll take Councillor Hutchinson. Did you want to comment any further?
Oh, look, I'll just agree with Councillor Telfer on that one and proceed with the motion.
You'll adopt that wording that's currently on the screen as part of the motion, and it's exactly that motion then that's seconded. I just want to see, are staff up to speed with that as well? So staff are adding the no stopping zone, which is the subject of option three, right? So that's just a technicality. Now, is there any opposition to the motion? No? Then I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. That's carried, but not unanimously. All those against, there was one, yes. So that was carried. Thank you. Members or Marion residents, you're most welcome to stay until 10 or 11 or whenever we finish, but also feel free to depart at your leisure. We turn now to the Oaklands Park Marion traffic management issue. And I think we have Councillor Pryor to move a motion.
I've sent an amendment to what's written on the screen to Ms. McKenzie, and that is that council prepare a report containing costed options for alternative traffic treatments for the local area in question.
So is that replacing or in addition to the printed paragraph three there?
It's an addition, and I'd like to split it, please.
Oh, yes, so we'll vote on it separately. I understand that.
Thank you.
We'll just wait for that to be put up on the screen so everyone can see that. I can ask, though, is that motion seconded as it stands? Well, let's take paragraphs 1 and 2 and say, is that seconded? Seconded Councillor Crossland. Is there any opposition to those paragraphs 1 and 2? Question? Please proceed, Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, wasn't it true that today Councillor Telfer, I think, asked that very question and the staff distributed the information that we're asking for? Have I got
it right about today's events? No. I had sent out an email saying that information was available and was provided to us at ward briefings, and I quoted some general numbers.
Matthew Allen's been involved in this. I'd ask Mr. Allen to come forward.
This was a budget item approved in the last budget. These costings are fairly well developed. That's the other question.
Well,
estimates.
I'd like to ask a question. In the last budget, there was money set aside to deal with the traffic management issues in this area. Is that correct?
That is correct.
No. 30,000. The other question is, Mr. Mayor, In terms of the timing of all this, to better understand the needs of the area in terms of traffic management, would it not be a significant factor, that we would need to know whether the 40k speed limit was approved or not in determining what infrastructure would need to be put in there to address the issues? Would that be a reasonable assessment?
Through you, Your Worship. Our intent was to go to survey the community on support for a 40-kilometre speed zone, followed by monitoring with traffic counts after 6 months of implementation. Now, subject to that monitoring, we would be looking at implementing traffic control devices if the speed limits did not influence the traffic volumes.
Simply asked a question, in terms of the timing of this, would it not be a significant factor in determining what traffic management devices are required, whether you had a 40k speed limit or not? I didn't get an answer to that.
Wise to deal with the 40 kilometre issue before costing other possible traffic treatments, is that it, more or less?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Mr. Allen?
Yes.
Thank you. And just to keep members informed about this discussion about approximate costing, and Mr. Allen may want to comment on this, but the email that was referred to by Councillor Telfer talked about approximate costings as follows, and these aren't necessarily to be taken as a package, they could be taken as a package or individually. 40 kilometre hour signage, 21 signs at $250, $5,250. Traffic devices, meaning a large raised, plateau in the road, there's probably a technical term for that, $80,000 to $100,000 each. There was a suggestion made at one of the meetings that there would be four or five spots where that might be four spots where that might be required, so you'd have a figure of $320,000 to $400,000. So, did you want to comment on those figures, Mr. Allen?
Those estimates seem appropriate and reasonable.
That as clarification, and we are at the stage where paragraphs 1 and 2 have been moved.
Point of clarification.
Yes.
Would you take an amendment of the removal of 2, or do we have to actually vote against it as such before we can consider 3?
The way I'm chairing this is to take 1 and 2. Might be safer actually to take leave of sight. There's a bit of an echo there, but leave aside point number 1. What Councillor Pryor really wants to test is what is there as number 2. So let's just take that as the motion, because whatever ultimately is decided. I'll just go back on myself. Let's get one out of the way, otherwise this is going to get messy. So, can I take it that Councillor Pryor is moving that the report be noted? Is that seconded? That's seconded, Councillor Carey. All those in favour? That's carried. Now we're dealing with what is there as item paragraph 2. It's moved to Councillor Pryor. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland seconds that. So Councillor Telfer, to answer your procedural question, we're simply dealing with this item stand or fall. Councillor Pryor, clarification?
Yeah, just can I add in and devices, whereas Councillor Treatments, alternative traffic treatments and devices? Just to clear things up.
Mr Mayor, there's no time frame on this. These people in the area that we're referring to have suffered, endured for some time.
We wanted a question.
We need a time frame on here. I'm just wondering, is there a time frame?
There isn't a time frame. Councillor Pryor, did you want to add that to the motion? And here I am being flexible again. I hope I'm not going to be criticised for it. But did you want to put a time frame for that, for a report to be brought back?
If it suits Mr Allen, 2 months, would that...
I'll take that as a question to Mr Allen. Is that realistic?
Through the Chair, we can reprioritise some of our works to achieve that 2-month requirement.
Yeah, can I just add that, can we look at actually devices or some form of structure which is actually going to reduce traffic flow rather than speed? So by that, you're going to have to look at the option of making no entry on some roads or even closing off some roads to stop any through traffic through. 40 kilometre option that we've got here doesn't actually reduce the volume of cars, it only will reduce the speed of the car. That's if they're law abiding, that is.
Can I just check with Mr Allen that when we talk about alternative traffic treatments and devices, that could include road closure?
Through the Chair, at the local area traffic management workshops that were held back in 2013, there was significant objection to half road closures, chicanes, closing off roads. We are also very conscious that that will shift traffic to adjoining streets.
Alternatives to those things which might be popular might not be much of a report. So I presume that Councillor Pryor intends for you to look at a range of options. They might have already been discussed. They might have already found opposition in some quarters. But is there enough guidance in that motion for you to come back and give a reasonable report?
Through you, the Chair. Yes, there is enough guidance. We propose some treatments to raise the pavement. We'd also need to address stormwater management as a result of that, and we do have enough information.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. Is there any opposition to that motion, Councillor Hull?
Absolutely. I have to ask this question before I speak. In the budget before last, can I ask the staff whether there was any money put aside for any of this traffic management infrastructure? Not in the last budget, in the budget before.
Mr Allen?
Through the chair, I'd have to take that question on notice.
What was there any money put aside in that budget to deal with this issue?
Through you, the chair, yes, there was money set aside.
Was the amount of money significant?
Through you, the chair, I'll have to take that on notice.
Mr. Mayor, might I suggest that the amount of money we're talking about was about $300,000, not insignificant. It was really money put aside by that council to address the issues at hand in the community. We've forgotten that. I hadn't forgotten it. The other points I'd like to make is that because of that, we do have a reasonable idea within the administration of how much it's going to cost. The unfortunate part of it is, and I agree with the administration's strategy, of first ascertaining whether we can get the 40k speed limit or not, is a major factor determining the costs and what sort of infrastructure is required. Because if you don't have the 40k speed limit, it will influence what we need to do. Now, I think that's the stumbling block. You know, like, if we're actually going to get bogged down again, because the Messenger Press has covered this fairly extensively, and we've had two public meetings, and at the first one, it was dominated by do-nothing. Only, and the 40k speed limit was raised there with no objection, as I remember, in this very room. The second public meeting was a more conciliatory meeting, where people acknowledged that the people in George and Dwyer Road were putting up with more than what they should, and let's sit down and talk about it. Indeed they did. They come out of it with a degree of consensus at the end of that meeting. And there was a view that something needed to be done. We're actually at that point, and the starting point, Mr. Mayor, and I hope I'm not verging on speaking on the next part of the motion, if we get to that point, is that the 40k speed limit should come first, and we should be getting that in front of the government ASAP to find out whether it's allowed or not. The other part of it is that it actually has to go to the people for them to actually decide whether they want it or not formally. Now, so I think that's the really critical part of the timing of this. My time is up. I'll speak further later. Thank you.
I would speak against this because there has been work done. We need the 40 kilometre per hour throughout that area in place. It was promised that we would look at local area traffic management after the completion of the swimming pool. There was a local area traffic management study held at that point, and it disappeared a bit. This still continues on from that. I believe that we need to find out whether the 40 kilometre an hour will drop traffic volumes by 9 to 20%. All right. My concern about this is that page 81 talks about possible treatments. It doesn't talk about any treatments north of George Dwyer. I believe that an overarching district approach needs to be sorted, the 40 kilometres, before we move to the specific of the George Dwyer and the undertaking that I've made that there be no impact further on other residents' streets to their detriment. So I actually have to vote against this so that the 40 kilometre will move forward so that I can then move to looking at alternate ways and traffic coming situations down the track.
don't think part two and part three are mutually exclusive. In fact, part two gets us looking at those other options, and part three gets us to start the process for the 40k zone. Now, I agree, I don't think the 40k zone on its own will do it. I think we'll need other things, but how we do it, I'm happy to, it's going to be cheaper as far as ratepayers go to have a 40k zone, but that's what we trial to see what effect we get from that. Because if we're getting quotes for $80,000 for one raise treatment, that's a lot of money. And I guess if we're going to test the waters, I'd do it. So I'm happy to support part two. I'm happy to look at the 40k limit. It's not that clear how much residents want the 40k limit. So is anyone able to give me a bit of guidance on that, Your Worship? What are the residents... Like, this is...
The workshop on 10th September 2014. Priority one, construct the rail overpass at Oaklands and stop, equal number one, stop traffic entering the area. And then after that came 40 kilometre speed limit. I mean, it was the relatively low numbers of residents who attend, but they were the most preferred options.
Yes, I don't know. I'm not aware whether the discussion was had about everything working together. So whether they were looking at how all these work together or they're working in isolation, that wasn't that clear. What I get from here is they don't want people going in. So if a 40k zone and then later on some treatments works as a good deterrent to stop people going in there if they don't have to. Because I think one of the councillors, two of our councillors actually went one way and the other one the other, and it added only a small amount of time to the trip going around, but I think it causes a lot of inconvenience for those residents, and those numbers are quite high. So I'm happy to support this and support part three as well.
I'll just make the comment from a chairing point of view, I don't find two and three inconsistent. So I wouldn't want members to think that if this motion is passed, they couldn't also vote for the 40k speed limit. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have a question for the staff, Your Worship. Just carrying on from the points that were made about the two consultations that have already occurred. True, we had a fairly lively debate in 2013, as I recall. There was certainly adverse reactions to up to six road closures and up to 12 chicanes and close points, or whatever you want to call them. And rightly so, it was excessive. The plan that was put out to the community in 2013 was ridiculous, I'm sorry. It was excessive, it was unnecessary. I'm not a traffic engineer, but I can tell you now that was excessive by the community standards. I guess my question is, have we listened to that? Because in the latest voting that occurred at the last consultation, page 85, slow points or chicanes, six. Strategies to reduce through traffic, slow or impede, six. Add them together, that gives you 12. What Councillor Fryer, I was going to call you Fryer, is suggesting is that, in fact, these are the things that the community want. So he is taking a different perspective, as we've seen. My question is, have Council listened to the community at the last major one in 2013 where it was clear that they didn't want excessive limitations placed upon them, but then also concede that page 85 does suggest that it is in fact their preferred option?
Through the chair, I believe that we have listened to the community as a result of the LATM. We were very had clear feedback from the community that attended the workshop that they didn't want to be impeded. Residents didn't want to be impeded moving through their suburb. So what we're proposing in terms of traffic calming will still allow residents to move through the suburb, however, make it more difficult and challenging for those vehicles that travel from, for example, Marion Road through to Diagonal Road.
And that'll be in your report, obviously.
Thank you, Your Worship. I guess in closing, the point that I'd like to bring really to the front of this discussion is the time frame for all of this. I'm making an assumption about the next point, and my assumption has caused me enough grief, but the data that I have suggests that a 40k an hour zone will not do anything to the traffic numbers through those streets. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to actually help out our residents by expediting the next part of the process. I don't think we lose anything because of that. I think we actually gain something. So I mean, the 40k an hour zone, if you're talking about implementation, the earliest date is after June 2015. So the earliest date is June. That's if we're slick about everything. And then we want a six-month monitoring period. So you're talking the start of 2016 before we get anything even vaguely looking like a solution in this area. And the residents have had enough. They're very, very keen to see a solution sooner rather than later. I guess that's all I've got to say.
I'm very happy to move this, Mr. Mayor. Happy to support this. This is what will really give some reassurance to the community that we are genuinely trying to help them, and we actually are trying to expedite the issue. If we hadn't have added a time frame to the previous motion, well, that wouldn't have given the satisfaction that they deserve. Mr. Mayor, a report was circulated by one councillor. It was a university report that was probably 12, 13 years old. The interesting part of it is that I actually, thanks to the staff, obtained a report from the City of Unley today, and it actually gives us the outcome of that university essay. And in 2004, some months later, it was moved by Councillor Sangster and seconded Councillor Salomon that it be recommended to the Traffic Management Task Force that the report be received, which is the report that I'm referring to, and the Unley Road Safety Committee supports the retention of the 40k speed limit in Unley as implemented and will provide further reports to Council's Traffic Management Task Force re-proposed program to assist and improve road safety and speed limit awareness and education only in accordance with its charter. So ever since then, the Unley Council have had the 40k speed limit. It's been thoroughly looked at by a university, and the council have actually assessed that university report, and if you read that report, you would see that there actually was conjecture in the report. And unfortunately, for the council that distributed that report, we didn't get the full story. We had got the full story and it was circulated today to other ward councils, and I think it's noteworthy. Mr. Mayor, timing. We need to get this before the minister to find out whether we can get the go-ahead to then go out to the community to do the appropriate consultation. It won't be our decision at the end of the day, it'll be the community's. And in terms of another councillor who distributed an email about this, about policing enforcement, well, that's a good question. I think a lot of our problems in our city could be improved with better attention by SOPOC. Thank you for that email. It's a good point. And Mr. Mayor, Might I suggest that this is not the first time I've moved a motion in this place for a 40k speed limit. I moved a motion all those years ago for Finton Park after fatalities, excessive speed in that area, and also rat running. That was prior to the 50k speed limit. It worked. Finton Park still has a degree of normality in it. And I think that this is going to help with the change to culture of the rat runners and those who might choose to actually speed through there, and they do, not in great numbers, but there are some that speed through there that need to be dealt with. People need to have some feeling of safety in their environment, and these streets weren't designed for the number of cars going down there now. It needs to be addressed, and I urge the members to support this recommendation.
I am most concerned about the traffic count of 4,000 cars going along George Street. It's slightly less along Crewe, but serious numbers that make living in these streets no longer comfortable domestic streets. And we have tried and looked over 10 years at different options. We have this option. It has been petitioned down George and Dwyer. Those people agree to the 40 kilometre. We need to move forward with this so that we can see the impact, take on safety, and come up with a better solution after that, if that's still required. So I look forward to this being implemented sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so I'd like to speak in opposition to this. The pure and simple fact is that the changing of the speed limit in this area won't address the problem, which is the traffic volume. Councillor Hull's made a few points about speed and fatalities and all sorts of other things, but the traffic volume is the issue we're trying to address here, and making this area 40 k's an hour will not address the traffic volume through the area. And in particular, during our peak hour times, it's unlike Councillor Valesco, it's actually significantly quicker to cut through the back streets than it is to star on the main roads. That's the issue that we've got at hand here. There's not even a competition. That's one of the large problems we're facing. And this is a really delicate issue to deal with. The other thing that I'd like to make that is until we get the Oaklands crossing grade separated. This is going to continue to be a problem.
Yeah, I'd just like to echo what Councillor Pryor has said. I don't believe the 40 kilometre speed limit will assist. In fact, I know the area in Unley where they've brought the speed reduction in. I still use those roads. They've now put speed humps down those roads. I still use those roads. They're still quicker. And the other point that I'd like to make, I find it quite unusual that we're looking at a problem where the actual obvious solutions are not allowed to be implemented or looked at. It's quite an unusual way of problem solving where we get 84 people who have no traffic management experience making a decision when the experts can actually come up with some solutions and actually offer those solutions to the wider community. And that's why I voted and moved motion 2, because the solution is there. There are solutions, but they will involve some unpopular things for residents, like road closures. I've got experience in areas where they have worked, and they're not going to be popular with everyone, but if you really want to reduce the flow of traffic, then you need to make some of those decisions. And I just think it's asking someone for a solution where most of the obvious ones are off the table is really a big ask of our traffic management unit.
Yes, I think I am against the motion only in so much as I have at previous meetings been against surveys for something as serious as this in relation to road safety. I also think that Councillor Pryor was getting close to the point that there are underlying causes that we're not concentrating enough on. One is certainly the grade separation of the Oaklands Crossing. Another one is, and I've written to the traffic management people about this, is that there is an appalling control of traffic on Sturt Road between Marion Road and Diagonal Road. The traffic going on all three other directions across that intersection of Marion and Sturt Road gets far greater priority than traffic travelling sometimes east, sometimes west on that throughway. And I think those are the two problems. Now, when you have angry people and when you don't have proper surveillance of a speed limit like 40, they will go through there anyway at 50 and 60. And I see that in our own ward through Hallett Cove and Marino. People will not observe the speed limits when they are angry and when they don't think they're going to be caught. So I believe we need to strongly represent an appalling traffic management situation that's going on that is really interfering with traffic flow in our council for a start. That can be fixed in a jiffy. And it was fixed for a while after I sent a letter about 3 years ago to traffic management. And now it's subsided again and it's all a mess. But the subject of grade separation is another thing altogether. The two together, though, are the nub of our problem. And I don't believe that surveying people on a 40 speed limit and expecting to get 66% agreeing is the way to go.
Thank you, Your Honour. I agree with Councillor Hull in that something needs to be done for the residents there, and it's been dragging on so long. What I want to say about it is that I did live in Unley Council when they introduced the 40 kilometre zone. I was living in Rose Terrace in Wavell and had an extensive amount of traffic going past the house. And whereas they're saying that it doesn't reduce the volume, as a resident there, having it come down to 40 kilometres an hour reduced the noise levels. And it did make living on that street much more comfortable by having a 40 kilometre speed limit. So I do support the introduction of a 40 kilometre speed limit at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. I speak in favour of the motion and I'd like to introduce a new point. And that is, I see this as one of many elements that we're going to introduce into this area over time. We know, in fact, it's not going to work by itself. That's a fact. But when you have enough devices and enough barriers in place to frustrate people that want to rat run, it's going to work. We're talking something around 30 seconds time difference. But if your wheels are still moving, you think you're going quicker. That is the issue we're dealing with, and I think we need to do this as part of a, I'm going to borrow the term from Councillor Telfer, a basket of initiatives to address this issue long term, and this is just a start.
Taking some action, I guess realistically this would be probably the thing, if we've got approval, one of the quickest things we can do as part of that. Look, I agree that without being caught, people will still doubt the law, and I think that other points are made. But I think that it gets people thinking because it is slower. And I know when I've been frustrated on the South Road, I've cut through St Mary's, and not only have I got to work later, but I've actually used more fuel. So I just think it's just that perception that people don't want to be stuck in traffic, but I think Councillor Hutchinson does make some good points, and it is something, as, along with other things, that we can do, and the fact that noise is a big issue, and I feel for the people on those streets, because when you drive through, you don't think of that. You don't think that you're one of 4,000 people going down George Street. I know I live in a quiet street, so it's dead end, so I don't have that issue, but we've got to do something as the nature of road use in that area changes. And I think also that we'll need to look at, I guess, the resources in the team with Mr. Allen, because these issues are coming at various levels. So that's under considering in the future, maybe in our strategic thinking.
Anyone else speaking against the motion? No, I'll ask for the mover to speak in reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I still might be able to win over Councillor Garth, because he makes a good point about the system, and the system is that we need to have 66% in favour for this to go ahead by the community. Now, that's not our doing. That is imposed on us by the state government. We've got to actually use that system whether we like it or not. So, you know, if there was another way of doing it, I would actually do it, make no mistake. I find this challenging to actually get through, because if the community gets the wrong end of the stick here, like some councillors seem to have tonight, it won't get up. It won't get up. Now, I want to actually stress that road closures was something that was bitterly opposed by the residents. Now, there's history here. Going back probably 1990, there was a councillor by the name of Colin Cordell. He used to sit just over there, Councillor Appleby, and he actually got elected to Parliament on the basis of ripping up all the speed humps and to oppose any possible road closures in the area. There's a lot of history here, and these people still remember. Councillor Woodhouse, who used to sit just over there, Councillor Coslin, he is very vocal about any possible road closures. He's on my case all the time, and fair enough. Now, Mr. Mayor, just to close, we hear about the Opens Crossing, all valid stuff. And the past council was pretty active on this with petitions and, you know, a fair bit of work with it. They didn't actually go ahead with doing the billboard that I wanted to do, and we still might do that. But, you know, if we are actually going to wait for the Oakland's Crossing to be done within a reasonable time frame, it's an onerous expectation for the residents to put up with it that long. Because they made it very clear the South Road is their priority, whether we like it or not. Now, to actually use the Oakland's Crossing as a way of dispensing with the problem is, you know, I may as well say, to resolve this issue, I'm actually advocating world peace. That's about as much chance as we've got. So I urge your members to support this, and also, at every opportunity, work with us on the Opens Crossing, because on both sides of this railway line, as Mr. Hannah knows, there are traffic management problems. This is only one side of the railway line. We actually had a little win the other day with some line marking on a road that's taken years to get in place to actually ask people to abide by the Motor Traffic Act. Thank you.
Can I have a division, please, Your Worship? Thank you, Your Worship. I've actually submitted an alternate motion to Jamie on this particular matter. I'll read out the motion while it's being put up before I actually start speaking to it. The alternate motion that I'm moving on this one is to provide in-principle endorsement of the Jervois Street Reserve draft concept design for consultation, point one. Point two, to receive a further report following consultation detailing a final concept plan for endorsement. Point three, to endorse the use of funds from the Open Space Reserve in order to enable the completion of stages two and three. And can I speak to the motion? Sure. Look, I mean, I'd prefer to move all three together, but I'm happy to go separate, that's fine. So should I speak to the first two first? I'd like to move both if possible. Like, I'd like to be the mover of all points, but... take them together, thank you. Thank you, Worship. Your Worship, this one has a huge and very, very, very long history that casts back to 1994. I was 13 years old at the time, but there was a council here who had a hell of a lot of vision and a hell of a lot of insight, and they recognised there were certain pockets of the city that didn't have open space provision. They set up what was called the Open Space Reserve Fund. Now, that reserve fund took open space contributions of developers, I think it was road closure funds and all sorts of bits and pieces, and compiled them all together. Now, the reason for that fund was to address open space issues in certain parts of the city where open space was at a premium, where it didn't exist effectively. Back 3.5 years ago now, we stumbled across a piece of land that was being carved up and sold from the Housing Trust. We entered into extremely protracted negotiations, and we ended up purchasing it with extensive assistance from the state government. I'll go back on the Open Space Reserve. That reserve fund is a completely 100% cash-backed fund. It is cash in the bank. It's not future earnings. It's cash in the bank. And that is currently sitting at a few hundred dollars less than $1.5 million. So there is quite a substantial fund sitting there right now. As of right this second, this particular project has had more than 50% external funding. We've received a big funding hit to actually help purchase the land. We've also had that state election promise as well. It's currently more than 50% externally funded. We can keep rolling the dice, but honestly, I think we're going to be waiting a hell of a long time if we're going to keep waiting for more external funding in this particular project. It's time for us to actually use the money that's been set aside for this exact purpose. Look, this is a precinct level reserve. A precinct level reserve, look at the play space strategy. A precinct level reserve is fairly well defined as to what it is and what it isn't, as are all the various reserve levels. We've said that this is a precinct level. That has certain design elements that it should theoretically include. The design that's being put to us, it may not be perfect. I quite like it. It may not be perfect. There may be elements of it that the community doesn't like. We've got an absolutely furiously engaged community on this particular subject. They were flying around with left, right and centre at the consultation with ideas of what they wanted in here. Now, there's certain things when we go back to them, they may say, you know what, not so sure about that. Let's take a bit of emphasis away from that and let's put it over there or something else, or even make savings. But I think we've got the money here. Let's do it right. We do have to do the consultation as well, because we promised that we would, and we said in the place-based strategy that we would as well. We have to do that. Let's actually give this project some legs. Let's give it some certainty, and let's do it right the first time. Thank you, Your Worship.
Yeah, I've had a look at the plan. I think it's over the top. I think we're spending too much money on this small reserve. I would prefer the plan to go ahead immediately as it is in stage one, where we would fund an additional amount towards irrigation of that play area. I just think there is only limited funds left in our open space fund, and I'm not quite sure yet whether we're achieving equity across the whole of Marion Council area. We haven't yet had any chance to look at our play space areas across Marion Council. I know other councillors have been here a lot longer than I have, and obviously know where money's been spent and what type of playgrounds we have where. Unfortunately, that's not available to me. And I just think if we're going to spend nearly $1 million on just one small play area, how much is it going to cost to implement those play areas across council, and how much is it going to cost to then maintain those areas? So I'd just like some reassurances that if that's the case, that we're going to spend that amount of money in every suburb and we've got the funds to do it, then you'll be able to change my vote.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, just a question. How much money is left in the open space reserve, and how many unfunded items have we got to put against that reserve still? So is there an answer to those?
Through the Chair, as per last year's audited accounts, there was $1.288 million in the open space reserve.
What other items are there still unfunded that need to be considered against that amount of money?
Through the Chair, I don't have that information off the top of my head, but I think it would be valuable that I gather that for you, because I don't know the answer at this point.
Thank you. And then the other comments I have, Your Worship, is I believe that it is an eyesore at the moment and now something needs to be done there, but I do question why we are going back to do more consultation. I understand from what Councillor Pfeiffer has said that that was a promise made to people in the his area, but I do believe that people are aware we have to cut back on certain funding aspects if we can, so as we can get results across the board more, and I do question why we're going to consultation again.
Is already funded, so that's going to happen anyway. We're talking about whether we go to the next stage and pull money out of the open space reserve fund for that. Well, point of order, Councillor Fife.
Your Worship, I just want to clarify one point there, and that was, and Mr. Mifsud quite rightly quoted the audited numbers, which is the right thing to do as an accountant, and thank you. But I can, I've had advice from the staff that as of the end of February...
Well, sorry, it's really not a point of order. That should come back as a point in reply at the end.
Sure, okay.
Is that a point of order, Councillor Crossland?
I believe it is.
If there's a procedural point.
I was told that stage one will not be going ahead until after the consultation, so it's still not a definite go-ahead for stage one.
I'll just
because I did look at changing the motion, was told, no, you can't do that.
I'll just ask Mr. Mifsud for a clarification. My understanding was that it's funded.
Through the Chair, the funding for stage one, being the $300,000 grant funding money, is available. but we still require a council resolution to proceed.
It's in the budget, but approval to spend it hasn't been given. Is that a fair summary?
Yes, thank you, through the chair. The funding has been received. It was grant funding that was actually received. The concept design needs to still be endorsed by council before stage one can proceed. But it is a project. It is a funded project. It's simply the design that requires endorsing by council.
Mr. Mayor, I gladly support the recommendation. I was on council in 1997 and participated in that fund and setting up that fund, that motion, because there was two consecutive reports over different periods of time identifying gross inadequacy of open space in the Northwood Council area. And the first report just sat on the shelf, the second report sat on the shelf a little bit longer until we actually started to say, well, look, we need to put aside some money somehow to fund the purchase of the land. We're there. We're there now. And it worries me that we're even in this position because, rightly or wrongly, I was told by a director when this first come out, and it was still under embargo. Please don't say anything, Bruce. It's under embargo from the minister, but we've got the land. We've got the land. I said, oh, fantastic. And so that means we can do everything? Oh, absolutely, the whole lot. That's what I was told. I remember it very, very clearly in that room over there. So I don't even know why we're here having this discussion tonight. That open space fund is there to do exactly this, to go in and finish this off, to describe it as a little reserve. It might be, on your state, it's down in the south, might be tiny. But in the north, this is a big reserve. This is a whopper. And it really deserves to be done properly. Like, you know, how can you possibly explain to the local MP who got the money for stage one, or to the residents who have actually been under this great anticipation that, I'm sorry, there's no irrigation to water the grass, or there's no money to put a swing on it, or a bench. How are we going to explain that away? Think about it. We need to go in and finish this off. We've done well. Let's actually reap the benefits of having grant funding and interest from the local MP and the community, and just go in and finish it off. I really struggle to understand this, because once we get this done, then we can move on and focus on somewhere else. But the truth of the matter is, the North has never had the open space, has never had the amenity, and the time has come for it to happen. And Mr. Mayor, just quickly, the council needs to start to think strategically. I've turned my mind to issues in the south, like a new library. You know, I've turned my attention to all sorts of things down there in the past because it was right. Let me tell you, this is right.
Quite a few things. First of all, as far as I'm aware, all precinct level reserves, now we don't have many of these. These are reserves that are anticipated to get a wide catchment of users. They have things like toilets, which are over $100,000 in themselves, and other aspects. So if we're just looking, it's not the sort of park that will be in every suburb. That's the first point I want to make. The next point is that I can understand how people may feel, I guess, a little bit cheated if they think, well, there's this pool of money that's going to go pretty much straight to this, build this playground, and it just seems like to go there automatically. But that pool of money is for the new, it's for the where you have the purchase of the new land and what you do with that land. So that's why that pool is different. So if there is $1 million left over, or because I think that's what Councillor Pfeiffer was talking about, that as of February it's 1.5 million in there, not 0.123, 1.54, if I remember rightly. Yeah, okay, and 53 cents. So So that is a different pool of money. And that's why... Now, as far as the consultation goes, I think they just gave us a whole heap of ideas. And we run a big risk based on consultation that we did for the regional level reserve, or I think it's precinct level, at Hazelmere, where we missed the location of the toilet. And we did some consultation, so we do need to do consultation before what we do here. And part of it's, I guess, informational as well. Now, I can understand the concern with excess consultation, because when I put out a report for a second dog area, which I thought could just be putting up a fence, I was given a figure of $55,000. And when people are new to council, and maybe not so new, that want to save money, you can actually see that as a waste of time and money. So I think we need to make the process cheaper. But I do think that we need to have it to let people know, because otherwise we'll do it and they won't be happy. And it's like they wasted all this money. There's all these things that will block people doing it. So that's why I do support the consultation. I'll talk further on the use of the funds. I just wanted to clarify those things. And I do, I guess, ending, like, it reminds me of the proverb where a guy got his sons a big bundle of sticks and said, break them. They couldn't do it. Couldn't break those sticks. And then he basically said, well, take one out and break it yourselves. And they broke. And I guess that's the strength of numbers. And what I'm concerned about is that whilst we do want to do the best to represent our community, I don't think we need to see things happening in other areas as a threat. And I'd like us to think of what some of the things that have begun, some of the things that are needed in various places across the city. And I guess, you know, maybe in the future we go and visit a couple of places in different wards and get a bit of an idea and a bit of an appreciation, because...
Yes, I was just not wanting to be in the situation where we throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think, obviously, it's a very worthy motion. It's a matter of degrees as to how much might eventually be spent after the purchase price of the reserve itself. Obviously, this is one instance where I'm very much in favour of public consultation, but I don't want to vote not knowing what sort of amount of funding would be spent over and above the $300,000 that is already set aside in external funding in total. Is that irrespective, though, of consultation with the public? Okay.
Thank you, Your Worship. My question is based on the debate that's been arising around unfunded in this conversation, which I find interesting. My question is to Mr. Mipsett. Can you please give us the definition for the Open Space Reserve Fund?
Yep, through the Chair. Council has reserve funds policy. The Open Space Reserve Fund has been established to account for a number of items, as Councillor Pfeiffer has already stated, and the use of the funds, monies can be applied to the development of open space facilities as approved by Council.
And it has no bearing on unfunded projects.
I think the point that's been raised by at least one of the councillors and the mayor is that there's the council has a large list of unfunded priorities, and that it would be good governance practice to actually work through that prioritisation process rather than to make a decision on the hop. But that's how I'm interpreting the discussion.
I went today to Jervois Street Reserve, six large housing blocks. There is a sign up there that says, community, you will be consulted soon.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah. Look, I think it's worth going back to basics on this as well. We do need to look at the fact that, A, firstly, back in the 40s when this area was surveyed, it was rack'em, pack'em and stack'em. It was get as many houses in there as we possibly can. Open space? Oh, no, don't worry about that. Don't need it. You know, that's what happened in that area at that time. We didn't have open space provided in that area. Fact. That's what happened. Compounding that factor is now, in the last 10 years, we're having urban infill and, you know, at a rate of knots. And so all of a sudden, people who did have the quarter acre block where the kids could play cricket in the backyard don't have that. And it's getting a bigger problem by the day. And so that's what this is seeking to address. This is clawing back land that should have been provided, you know, 60 or 70 odd years ago that wasn't. So much blood, sweat and tears has gone into actually getting this. It is, and Councillor Hull mentioned it, it is disingenuous to those who have actually thrown more than 50% of the funding into this already, if we now go and say, oh, yeah, we're not gonna do most of that now, we're just gonna, you know, quarter do it. It's not, it is disingenuous, and for any other projects we're looking for, this will affect our ability to get external funding if we're not actually following through with what we're saying that we should be doing. Look, the concept may be gold-plated over the top, however you want to describe it, but this is why it's going back out to consultation. They've just given us ideas. That's all they've done. They've given us ideas. We're taking those ideas, we've turned them into something and saying, is this what you mean or not? And so that's why it's important that we do it. We can't just send the bulldozers out tomorrow. We have to actually talk to them as we promised that we would. Look, I think... I'll leave it pretty much at that. I think it is a good idea for us to cap it at the 650,000. I'd like to see it to come in less than that, and I think there is a good opportunity for it to come in less than that. But what this does is it gives the project certainty. It says, yes, it will go ahead. It's something that Council's been planning for the last 21 years. It's something that Council's been putting money away for the last 21 years. It's about saying, yes, we are committed. We are going to do it. Let's just get on with it. It's about doing the job properly, doing it right, and doing it right the first time.